हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अव्यय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 5 Adhikarana 1 Defining the Prakat and Aprakat Pastimes, page 11. The mantra pasana mayi form in Aprakat pastimes is this: May Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day, and may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.20, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 30 ghatikas, 24 minutes, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and each night is divided into six parts, consisting of 5 ghatikas. In each of these six portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection, according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the lord of the first portion of the day, and Govinda, the lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion. Right, so you have the six and six, but you can also do it that because there's six, six, you can have 12. So in each of the sections, then one of the 12 deities. So,
dualist.
Yeah. Govinda plays his flute, Atha Venuhu is famous in Vrindavan and Mathura, which are Maha Yoga Pitas. The Lord appears as deity forms to materialistic vision in those places. To devotees' vision, the two forms, Mantra Pashana Mayi and Swarasiki, appear directly as the Lord with his associates. The examples of Mantra Pashana Mayi pastimes are the Lord worshipped in the Narayan Kavacha Mantra and the Lord worshipped in an independent mantras taken from Gopal Tapani Upanishads and other texts. Right, because then they mention some nice aspect of the Lord, and then that feature, what he's doing at that moment, how he looks and everything. So we're looking at the situation in which the Lord is there and who he's with. Right, so we're basically looking at the sambandha aspect of what's happening there. Right? While then in the Swarasiki, you're looking more at the avideya, what is going on, what's transpiring. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vishwarup spoke thus to Indra. Priti, having defined the two types of apricot manifestations illuminated on the mantra pasana mayi pastimes, Swarasiki pastimes are illustrated. The Swarasiki apricot pastimes are eternally manifest in the abodes of Krishna. In the next anucheda, Uddhava means you're going to have the mantra pasaka. Means we're taking, you have the prakat and aprakat, right? So in prakat means it's what you see,
yeah.
Right? The aprakat means it's what is not seen. And so you may have a mantra pasana, mayi mantra from prakat, or it might be also from aprakat,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then you have the swarasiki, which is aprakat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So mantra pasana can be both?
Yes. It's just a matter of which one the Shastra happens to be talking about. Point is it's you're talking about Krishna and his associates in a particular situation, what they look like, who's standing where, who's doing like this, that kind of thing. The relationship of where they are. Does that make sense? It'd be just like, okay, let us say we take you have a person with some associates, let's say, just as a off the top of our head, let's say 12, and they're sitting at a big long table and they're having a dinner. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so one dude's sitting in the middle and everybody else is around and everything like that. So who's sitting where and everything like that and the table and that in the background and what do you call it? Mel Brooks, you know, holding the big, you know, the plate that you use for serving and that behind the central guy's head to look like a halo. You know, all those kind of things. Then that aspect, that's mantra-pasana. Does that make sense? Now what's going on there, their interactions, their talking and all that, that's a different thing. That's the swarasiki. So now, whether you're taking a situation from the apricot or from the pakat, it doesn't matter, it would be the same feature. But he was pointing out that some are from pakat, some are from apricot. Does that make sense? You know, like here. We just describe who's sitting where in the room, who's sitting on what, who's like this. And then thinking of that, because it's about Krishna, he's absolute, then it's going to be inspiring. But it doesn't say what's going on and who's interacting and all that. Does that make sense? It may give an indication, but it's that, you know, everybody's sitting and listening. Yes?
Why then we say that Svarasiki could be only in the apricot?
Because it's the one that's flowing.
But if you are there in Prakat Lila, you see what's going on. Okay? Or are we talking about meditation only?
We're talking about meditation.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because we're not there now, so therefore the only thing that's going on is means we can meditate on a feature of the Prakat or meditate on features of apricot. But if it's dynamic, then that'll be apricot. You know, it's just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sitting in his place, you know, across the river and looks to this side and sees all the devotees and they're dancing and kirtan and all that. That's apricot. Because otherwise, you look over here, there's a bunch of fields and there's, you know, Alu Shek out there, you know, plowing the field and planting portals, you know. Is that even though his name's Alu Shek, he's planting portals. Doesn't mean he doesn't plant Alu. Just that it's the wrong season. That's the next season.
So, previously we described that the Bhagavatam was revealed to different devotees in meditation. So when Shukadeva Goswami sits there and describes Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikit, he sees apricot within prakat. Is that right?
I mean, it's going to be either, because both are means at that time then both things are going on. So it just depends upon which ones he's talking about. Like you see is when Uddhava goes and visits Vrindavan, he goes back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
You know, so he's describing what's being said there. So that doesn't matter. Apricot means it's the pastimes that are going on eternally, and the prakat means what's manifest so that those who are not seeing can see them. And then you have the other form that's mentioned here. He says the deity. So you can say the deity is a prakat pastime. Even though the deity is Krishna, the deity is eternal. So it says that those who see the prakat just see the deity. Then there's those who see the mantra pasana maya. Then those who see the swarasiki. Does that make sense? So like this ISKCON, that's a prakat pastime of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like that.
For example, if we meditate on Jogpit, say what explained in the second verse of Brahma Samhita, that Radha Krishna Jogpit and the lotus and the whole thing, that will be mantra maya upasana meditation.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Means whether it's prakat or apricot, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It means it can be taken from an eternal pastime or taken from the prakat. It doesn't matter. Just like the acharyas sometimes in their telling pastimes that we're not hearing in Bhagavatam. Those details may be from the prakat, may be from the aprakat. For us, it doesn't matter. The acharyas, they know, so they can say which one it is. So when he says this is mantra pasanamayi from aprakat, this is mantra pasanamayi from prakat, It for us it doesn't matter. It's the same principle that is mantra upasanamayi, that we're meditating on a feature of the Lord that we can't actually meditate on, because there's no question we can't meditate on Swarasiki. That's not possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Means you're on the platform of Surup City, where you're in the pastimes itself, then you can meditate upon Swarasiki. But if you're not on that level, there's no chance. So it's not a discussion. It's not, no, but I want to. Yes, if you want to, chant, follow the principles, elevate yourself to the transcendental platform, and on the Uttama platform, when you develop Purva Rag for Krishna and you're qualified to enter the pastimes, and then that will be what you'll be doing. But otherwise, before that, it's not a joke. It's just describing them as these two, because one is you're getting the complete knowledge. And just because the complete knowledge is there doesn't mean that's the one that we will use. Just like if, let's say, we have the kids. We have an introduction to the math class, you know, and we've got a bunch of third graders. So you say, okay, now we're going to get, you know, serious into some aspects of arithmetic here. But, you know, besides arithmetic, there's also algebra, geometry, trigonometry, and that. And, you know, algebra means where you do, means because in arithmetic you have addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, right? And you do one at a time. But when you have an equation where all these things are done at once, I mean, it doesn't matter which way you do it, just all these are accomplished in this, then that gets you your answer you're looking for. So that's algebra. Right? And then if you're looking at that, the arithmetic being applied to volumes, right? Either in two-dimensional, three-dimensional, then that's geometry.
Yes.
And then if you're applying the same things to angles, then that's trigonometry, right? And if it's calculus, you're trying to figure out how much... you have an old... you're trying to figure out the... what do you call it? The volume of your sweater. Because it doesn't have anything. So you have to take a square off of that, and then all the things that... This is closer here, this is farther, this is this and that, and then you can tell what it's for. So it's just a way to get around geometry that things aren't geometric. You know, it's geometry of non-geometric...
Figures,
yeah. So if I explain that to third graders, and I could, and they would appreciate that, right, then that doesn't mean that now they can sit down and go, hey, you know, I can do calculus now because he explained it. No, it means you're in third grade, keep going. You know, when you get to 10th grade, then you do calculus, unless you're Sheldon, and then you're going to start next year. But if you're not Sheldon, then, you know, stop being foolish. Stop playing around. Does that make sense? Because it's always a push. How far can I take it? It says, no, you're here. No, you can't stand here. You know. So they're just, the acharyas are very kind. They're explaining the whole thing, and then wherever you're at, you take that. You know, it's just like, let's say we have somebody's laying in the hospital bed in a Minerva cast. Okay? But you talk about that, you know, okay, so for this time we're going to be doing this, and then like that, and at this point, then the cast comes off, then we're going to start the, what do you call it, that physical rehabilitation,
physiotherapy,
you know, so you can start walking again and this and that, and then say, and then after this much time, then this and that, and then at some point you'll be able to ride your bicycle again and do all that, even though maybe riding the bicycle and getting hit by the Mack truck was the reason he's in the Minerva cast, so he might want to reconsider or not. But in any case, then, you know, you talk about where he's, you know, there jumping up in the air and the sunshine and the butterflies are flitting and, you know, the field and the dandelions and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And your Labrador dog is running through the field and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean that now he can do that. He can say, yes, I can do that. No, you can't. You can't even, you know, move. It means literally. You know, I think you can blink your eyes. I think in a Minerva cast you can blink your eyes and you can, you know, move your talk and stuff like that. Generally, unless you broke your jaw, then that's, you can't do that either.
In childhood, I used to get many times a torn pigs or leg little bit fracture, and then for a few days you cannot walk.
Mm-hmm.
At that time you keep meditating. How fortunate are people who can walk?
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that's the point. That's the point, is that that's Rag Anuga. Means you, how fortunate are these devotees of Vrindavan and that, and how they can serve Krishna, how they can do all these nice things for Krishna. And so I want to be able to follow in their footsteps. You know, I want that, but until I'm qualified, I can't do anything that looks like what they're doing or meditate. I'm just appreciating that they have that qualification. You know, like Damodarastaka. Appreciating Mother Yashoda, appreciating. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then according to the individual, then they move forward at whatever their speed. But this thing is where you have a group thing and you talk and everybody can do this, that's like a, you know, Reverend Moon, you know. So it has nothing to do with reality. I mean, like zero. You know, it's not, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Someone says, I'll tell you about, you know, rasa and how to taste and all that, then you know they're bogus right there. Because you can't explain that. Because that's the point. Mantrapasana means the fixed position. Swarasiki means the moving position, the avideya. But there's no discussion of a meditation on the ananda aspect, the taste. You just taste it. So that in Mantrapasana, there's a taste. In Swarasiki, there'll be a greater taste. The taste is beyond.
Yeah. So can we say that at the present moment we don't have the body for Swarasiki?
I would say that would be a secondary feature. We don't have the devotion. We don't have the attraction. We don't have the rati.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, that's a very popular thing. Therefore, they have the themes where the guy takes his soul and sticks it in somebody else's body and then supposedly everything's fabulous. But it's not about, that's where the sahajiyas come in. No, I just meditate that I have that body, I'm there. No, you're not. You're not there. And even if you are there, guaranteed everybody there will leave. If you show up in your so spiritual body into that mantrapasana pastime, but you're trying to perform it as if it's Swarasiki, guaranteed when you think you'll do the mantrapasana meditation, you'll get everybody in place, then you'll put yourself there. And as soon as you go there, they will leave. That is guaranteed.
Taking selfie with the celebrity.
Hmm?
It's like taking selfie with the celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. You maybe do. It's you there and you take the picture, but by the thing, it looks like they're standing there, but actually they're about 20 meters back, right? You know, so. Does that make sense? So it's not that we don't have the body, because right now you have the spiritual body. It's covered by the gross and subtle body. So because of our impure consciousness, you know, the citta in the impure state, therefore it's covered. That's why Prabhupada says we have an arm because our spiritual body has arms.
Yeah.
Right? So we have it right now, but you can't use it. You know, it's like you have the baby. He's just born and all that. But the thing is in his father's will, the whole empire is his. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that he can use it. You know what I'm saying? It's there, but it doesn't mean you can use it. So that's the thing we have to get used to, is that everything's there, but you just have to qualify yourself. They always say, no, I need the body. So that's a very gross understanding. It's easy for us because it's gross. It's a body. If I had the body, then I could do it. Just like if I had the money, then I would be happy. If I had the car, then I would be the cool dude. No, you're not. You're still the idiot with the nice car. You know, so you have that. What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this? You know, so it's the opposite. What's an idiot like you doing in this nice place? You know, so what happens when that idiot shows up at the party? You know, somebody comes over and escorts him out. You know, they'll do it in a pleasant way. They won't make a scene. But, you know, the guy in the suit with that little squiggly thing in his ear is going to come up and, just one year, come this way. He might even get some food on the way out, but whatever it is, he'll be thrown out. So the whole thing is we have to qualify ourselves. That's the thing, is the sahajiyas have introduced, I only have to think of this body and I'm there. You don't have it, but if I think of it, then I'm there. So these are all contaminations. Because otherwise, where would they come from? Let's say you have a guy wandering around in some Western city. He knows nothing about India, nothing about the Vedic culture, especially nothing about Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. And especially nothing about Braj and this and that. So then, these techniques, where do they come from? They didn't come from because he's got the savvy. It's come because people go and talk to the sahajiyas, that's why. And then they think, whoa, this is impressive. They tell their friends and it goes around. And of course, anything mundane is going to travel quicker than anything else. I mean, I can remember, I've been talking about how to throw the water after the Arctic, you know, for the last 30 years. And it doesn't catch on anywhere. You see it here in Mayapur. Yeah. You don't see it anywhere else. But one time, then, you know, they were there. I'm not sure where, but it was somewhere in northern Europe. And then Hari Kesh Maharaj was there. And because in the, you know, that kind of those times, then the senior man would stand in the front. And so he's standing right there. And so the pujari would turn around with the water. And he's this far away. He would throw a handful right in his face. And he'd have to every time take off his glasses and clean them and put them back on. So after that happened a few times and they didn't figure it out, he made the rule, don't throw the water like that. Come and sprinkle it on our heads. Just because he told them they couldn't figure it out. And so that, within 6 months, the whole movement's doing. Because it's based on just our ordinary mental, calculations. And so, therefore, we catch it. It's just mechanics. Well, if you say, here's the culture how you do it, then, you know what I'm saying? If you grow up without yogurt, then you can't make yogurt. So therefore, it just goes like wildfire. You say, but so many people say, yeah, just because it's mundane. You can say, yes, it's because I don't have it. Why don't you have? Because of the consciousness. So therefore, the body is a secondary. That's why that verse from the Brahma Samhita. The consciousness is first, the body is second. Depending upon your consciousness, that's what body you have. Otherwise, it's here. You don't have any consciousness. We say this is your body, and then by working with it, you're supposed to then develop the consciousness. How will that work? You know. And then you have on top of that, well, what if I don't like that? I want to do something else. You know. Then yeah, get down on your hands and knees and start moving or something. Chew on the grass. You know. See if that helps. Does that get anywhere? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole thing is that it's not about we always take it down to this kind of lowest common denominator, when it's actually, it's all about the consciousness. When the consciousness is right, then everything works. And when the consciousness is not right, it won't work. So that's why it's that easy. That's why it says, you have greed for this. But it's greed for what? That devotion, that mood, that surrender, that love for Krishna, that's what you want. It doesn't say, I have greed that I want to do this activity, that activity, I want to be here, I want to be there, I want to be holding this one, that one's doing this and this and that. It doesn't say that. But that's what we take.
Because in a sense, it's easier to take the form.
Yes.
And seemingly, then we can fill it up with substance. But
who's we? If we're not qualified, how do you fill it up? That's like saying, I have this big, huge plate. I don't know how to cook, but I got the plate. Therefore, now I'll be able to fill it up with wonderful preparations. First, learn to cook. Then you can then see, if I can't cook, if I give you the big plate, even a solid gold, 36 inch, you know, so 90 centimeter, solid gold plate with, you know, bowls, you know, all around like that. So many bowls and cups and, you know, spoons and everything. And I give that to you. As soon as I hand it to you and you touch it, suddenly you become, you know, the Jamie Oliver of, you know, the Vaishnav community, right? And as soon as I pick it up out of your hand, it's all gone, you know, just like a, what's his name? Our Calcutta Pujari. You know, him and his disciple. You know, so the examples are given. So it's that foolish. The point is learn how to cook. Then I could give you any plate, you could fill it up. The point is, it doesn't matter what it is. If you don't know how to cook, you can't fill up anything.
But golden plate is a good increase to learn, you know.
Well, it's like that. What do you call it? Those two thieves. And they saw the ornaments on Lord Chaitanya, so they wanted to take them. So they put them on their shoulder and went running around the house. And so it was like he did parkour. So they got the benefit of taking him for a ride, and then they got bewildered and ran off. So they got spiritual benefit for taking him for a nice little, you know, joy ride. But at the same time, as you know, but that's, yeah. So that's the trick, is that it has to be seen as though it's the pure devotion that makes it happen. We have pure devotion for Krishna. That's everything else comes. That's what it means. That only by devotional service, it all comes. And devotional service means hearing, chanting, remembering about the Lord. These other things are secondary details. Yes?
Once when Jaya was mentioning, actually, okay, to understand about Krishna's tattva is difficult, but more difficult to understand Lord Shiva's tattva, and most difficult to understand is Guru tattva, because Guru tattva is where, like, we see everything is like from our material terms, but it is spiritual.
Yeah. It is spiritual. We see it as material. Yeah, true. It's in that regard. That is probably the most confusing of all the things. So then it's a matter of that the mantra pasanamayi then is there to give us something that we can think about, meditate, and then depending upon us, we may think about it for a moment and then not think about it for years, and then it comes up again, and then we think about it again, or it may be something we regularly think about or occasionally think about, you know, and so for some it'll start to become very regular until they're meditating like that.
Yeah. You know? It's a technical question. In Brahma Samhita and in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, the Radha Krishna Jogpit is explained.
Right.
So we can meditate,
yes,
in the mantra Mayupasana.
Yes.
And then, you know, advance.
Yes.
Do we have any place where the Mahaprabhu's Jogpit is described, you know, in a similar kind of...
And I know of the whole pastime of Sri Rasangam, that's a yoga feat.
Okay.
You know, that'll definitely be one. But there'll be others. But
mm-hmm.
Because the thing is Lord Chaitanya is doing all those, because then it's which ones, you know, so it's just, you know, like we're doing Radha and Krishna, but others do Krishna and Balaram, others do Mother Yashoda and Krishna.
Yeah.
Others is the cows and Krishna. You know?
Yeah.
So it'll always be something that has all everybody in its proportion where they are. But in any case, even if nothing else, you can meditate on the yogpeet, what's there. We have Lord Chaitanya there with Radha as Radha Madhava. You know, he is non-different. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Naya Anya. He's there with Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya. He's there with the members of the Panchatattva.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he's there with his mother and father.
Yeah.
Right. You know. Then you go around the back. Then he's there with Lord Chaitanya is there with Gadadhar Pandit.
Right.
Then you have Nrisimhadev is there with Prahlad, then you have the Acharya.
Mm-hmm.
So just by going around that, you know, doing a parigram of that, you're getting a full yogpeet meditation. Is that?
Yeah.
Because it's not that if you have a technical thing it can work. The mantra pasana mayi, you think of the deity. You know, how the deities were dressed today, and you see this and that, how the garland was, how the flute, and, you know, all the thing, how the crown, and everything else, and that, and what colors, and that's all mantra pasanamayi. So we have it. It's already been given, but we like to take it into a more, we like to ritualize it.
Yeah.
And then by ritualizing it, we think we're making it more advanced, when actually you're not. The ritual is there, it's just to see that it gets done. See, that you have Mangal Artik at this time and it's every day and this and this and this is what you do, that just ensures that it goes on. But otherwise, in the Nitya Lila, they don't need to be told it's time for Mangal Artik. Mother Yashoda and that, they come in every day at that time. They want to see Krishna. The gopis, they all wake up and arrange and wake up Radha Krishna because they want to see them and do service. Does that make sense? You don't have to. It's natural. But in Vaikuntha, then it's made into a big thing, and then they come, as I think, like in Sri Rangam, they come in, the first thing is that they bring the elephant, and they bring the cow, and then there's someone there playing Veena. So the person plays Veena, there'll be some standard things that they play, and ragas and all that, then the cow is brought there, and then a little bit back is the elephant, because they don't fit up close. But you need to see the front, the face of the elephant, the back of the cow.
Horse has a
horses.
Which, front or back?
No, it's down.
Down. So you see them sideways. They look good sideways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come in front of the Lord, I think. They bring the horse as well, but the elephant is the one.
He's right there. He should be directly in line, and then here's the. Because otherwise, there's no place. He moves over a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. So like that. You know, so the Garbhagriha, it'll be this close.
It's the group picture? What is this? The elephant, the cow, and the horse?
Means the deity is there. When they wake them up, when they first open the doors, this is before anybody's there.
You can't go.
No, you can't go for that. It's only pujaris. When they first open the door.
We can't go.
Oh, we can go. Okay. You open the doors, then you're going to, you know, the elephant will be right there, and the cow will be right there, and I guess the horse will be on the side. Some places, sometimes also, if it's festival, they have kanyas, like that. But that's generally, you know, during the Abhishekas and these kind of things like that. So you know, for us, it's Tulsi, you know. We have Tulsi and...
No elephant and no cow and no horse.
I didn't see the horse, it's funny.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, these are Vaikuntha things. And you have to have a temple that can do. Srirangam's big enough, you could take a elephant around with all the riders and those huge umbrellas, and you'd make it around.
Horse doesn't climb that stairs where the elephant comes, it just goes down from there and goes ahead.
Well, that's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, the farther down. The elephant.
Morning 5 o'clock, you know, to be there to watch it.
Yeah. And then after that, then there'll be the Mangal Artik. So, you know, they have their systems, you know, but it's formalized, and, you know, to be very, you know, nice, auspicious, very opulent, very great. And so then it's there. Well, ours is much more simple. But it's the same, because it's based off the mood and everything like that. So for us, it's the sweetness of the deity, then that starts the meditation. For the others, it's he's the Lord, and so therefore you have very opulent things, and that then, therefore, you know, the Lord sees the elephant, he sees the cow, and that makes you, inspires you. You know, it's the Udipan for you. So seeing the deities, meditating on the deities, you know, the Govindam prayers that the Prabhupada's given us, it's already there. You know? So we've already been given these things. But for us, even you hear what they mention of a Swarasiki mantra, still for us it'll be mantra pasana. Because we'll just think, okay, Krishna's there with the cow, gopis and this and that. But then the thing is it's generic. And so therefore, the mantra pasana is much more exact. Because it tells all the details of that. The other one says just he plays with cowherd boys and the cows and that and Vrindavan. That means it's just all, so wherever he may be at the time when you meditate, well, that's where they'll be. That's what they'll be doing. We think of a certain thing, this time this, this time this, this time this. But there, it's just when they meditate, whatever's going on, that's what they see. So that's not just because I want to do it. It's there. It's that you qualify, then yes, you can do it. There's not a problem with age. You know, Prahlad Maharaj at 3 years old is rolling on the ground in ecstasy. You know, he's already self-realized when he's in the womb. You know how 7 months the child becomes conscious and then he can start reading Bhagavatam. So he became self-realized at that time. You know, so age is not the problem. You know, and that, and so we know that it's there. But you can tell by what they're talking about where they are. You know what I'm saying? No, but you know, if you want to get to the advanced levels, then you have to study about the gopis and read these books and all that, and not be so much into this and that, and you know, like that. And by that cultivation, then you'll be able to get. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Even though they're talking about so-called advanced things and that, and supposedly that's supposed to be Raga Nuga Sadhana, as if there is one. It's Vaidhi Sadhana. It has two divisions, Raga and Vaidhi. It means it's the same thing. But they make it as if it's another thing. So that's from the Sahajas. It's not a separate thing. They're saying you have to do this. As soon as you have to, that's Vaidhi. I want to, or I do that because I like to. You know, like the brahmachari in the bucket of halava. That's spontaneous devotional service. He wants to eat that bucket. You know, and so, but the other brahmachari also wants to eat the bucket. Therefore, Vaishnava etiquette of sharing and caring and all that. So therefore, then they each get half, you know.
They bring their plates.
Yeah, we used to eat it straight out of the bucket. Sit down on each side and just eat. Yeah, because we were the ones that had to wash the bucket, you know. You know, you go to wash the buckets, but there's some left, so you eat what's in the buckets, then you go wash it.
Yeah. I think that the subtle difficulty in trying to discuss these kind of topics, that we actually, on the path of rag, we try to identify with the ragatmika devotees, yes, without us superimpose ourselves on them.
Yeah.
So it's very sensitive, because
yeah,
either they are there, we are here. You know, there's nothing. You know, like no connection. And many people actually happy with that. You know, practicing their YD in here, and then, you know, achieving their destination. Or they do the superimposition, like the Sahajas, as if we are there, just, you know, part of the scene, which aren't.
Yeah, but the problem is the Sahajas won't get there.
Yeah.
Or the other one following Vaidhi will get there. It's yeah. just now he doesn't notice, but as he goes, it's just like kids don't notice the environment. They just notice how much they notice. But if they get trained in that, it gradually it grows. Like from anamoy, it naturally goes to pranamoy. Pranamoy to manamoy. Like that. So gradually, it increases. So it just has to be understood. There's not a separate system. Prabhupada's given everything. The acharyas have given everything. But that given every, because otherwise I constantly hear, you know, just like what was it the other day as soon as he mentioned about, you know, then Vasudev took Krishna to Mathura and but Krishna was actually born every time, you know, like that. They don't get into either something else and, you know, that when he was born that he had four arms and he was wearing these opulences and this and that. They don't do that. They don't talk about that. You know, so it's the same kind of thing is that what were we talking about? Oh, yes, means the acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the others, they talk about all this, you know, rag bhakti and all that, and, you know, so things have changed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur changed it. This is all coming from the Goswamis. Another apasampradaya. You know? So that's the thing is that they introduce these things because they have problems. The caste Goswamis have serious problems with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they just let it run. They didn't care what they were doing because they were just Vaishnavas and this and that. But when you're and within it, people know. Like when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, people stayed away from the Gaudiya Vaishnavas because of the Sahajiyas. They thought these guys have no brain, no philosophy, no sadhana. There's nothing that can be useful for us. So people stayed away. So he had to convince them that Gaudiya Vaishnavas had a very lofty philosophy and is accessible. So the Sahajis did a super great disservice to the community. So people just stayed away. Bhaktivinoda, now when he's bringing in, he has to point out the difference between the two. Because even at the time when he's there, you have the those Nitya Gaur Radhe Shyamalas, Hare Krishna, whatever those are.
The Puri people.
Yeah, they're all over Bengal. Every Gaudiya Vaishnav temple, it's either our temple, Gaudiya Math temple, or theirs. You know, unless it's a private temple. But if it's one of those, if it's a Sri Patta or something, it's theirs. So that happened at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's preaching that. He's preaching to the person who established it that this is bogus. This is not going to work out. And he was certain because who is he? He's just a person. But by having his own philosophy, he becomes a big guy. You know, and the story goes that on his deathbed, when he saw the reaction to it, that they actually still didn't care about the devotion. They just took his leniency in the rules and regulations. So he introduced the Bengali Vaishnavas eat fish. That's him, that guy. He says, no big deal because your chanting is so far beyond transcendental. And then everybody took the meeting fish, but not the chanting. So now if you go, Bengalis all eat fish. Who's chanting? So that's grace of, you know, I mean, of course it's Kali Yuga, but he was the instrument for it. So these things have been going on all the time, so they speak very strongly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he had big problems with these people. They made so much trouble for them, and the caste Goswamis. Because they don't want this movement to go on, because if it does, what's their position? So it's all about Labh Puja Pratishtha. If it doesn't go, then it's a problem. So, So therefore, it has to be seen as that these things were talked very strongly about because there's a reason. And so now you have all these people getting distracted by these, and they always think, oh, there's that little bit more, because it's just cheaters and cheated. Of course, you want to be cheated, it's there. You know, but at the same time, you want the real thing is, will you be able to see it once you've heard from all these others? You know, to be able to know is that this is the path, and I have full faith in the full path. But this is where I'm at now, and I want to get there. But I'm here now, so I don't play around like I'm there when I'm here. That's just false ego. You know, as it said, faith means that there's no other process other than pure bhakti will get you prana and make you advance. So that we think so many other things are required means we're not there. That's just nishta. That's the first stage of three stages of the Madhyama platform. And then we're talking about, I'm going to be doing this stuff that's happening in the fourth stage of Bhav Sadhana. I'm not even at the beginning, so I'm not even out of the neophyte stage. But, oh yes, I can do this. So it's just, it's not real. It's not real. They're just fooling themselves. And the sad part is then they catch so many other people that like to be fooled.
It seems that the psychological difficulty with the devotees, that it's a personal observation, is that, you know, material life, it's really tough.
Right.
And then when you explain, like you just explained, you have to work hard and you have to be honest with yourself, know your own position now,
mm-hmm.
and then move forward and have patience.
Patience, yes.
For the future.
Yes.
It's from both sides, devotees feel really pressured, because here it's not happening. It means in metta, it's a struggle for existence. And here it's happening, but it's really slow. And the many want to speed up the process.
Chant more japa or something.
But then it's so.
Yes, but also, you know, it's interesting, it's true what you're saying, but there's also an interesting point, is many of those who want to speed up the process and turn to the sahajya are householders.
Yeah.
So, if they're so worried about the pressure of the material world, why are they householders? Why aren't they just celibate, you know, individuals? Stay brahmacharya if you're older, then be a vanaprastha. You know, your wife and I have a good life. Get the vanaprasthas, get into that. But they're not doing that. They want to be the full-on, all the benefits grihastha, and at the same time, all benefits. And the sahaja, the sahajas have a policy for this. Is that unless you have enjoyed material sense gratification in household life, you can't understand the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They say that. So that then allows them to hang out with the ladies and do all other stuff like that, and then say, you know, it's all part of the sadhana. So, you know, don't worry. The sahajas got to go. They've been doing this for hundreds of years. It means 500 years with us. And that, but besides that, they've been doing it for who knows how many hundreds or thousands of years. Just the Bengali Buddhism. You know, here and that, you had Sahajayan Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So as they were already Sahajiyas, as Buddhists, they were Buddhist Sahajiyas. You know? And then, so for them to go from Buddhist Sahajiyas into Gaudiya Vaishnava Sahajiyas was, you know, very easy for them. You know, instead of, what is it, the Shakti, you know, Shiva and time, then you have Radha and Krishna as this cool. You know, and their pastimes. And that. You never hear the Buddhists talk about the pastimes of Shiva and Parvati. You know, they just had time because they wouldn't understand the pastimes. So here, now we have pastimes. So then, hey, it's cool. We're good. You know? And we're Bengalis. We eat the same food. We dress the same. It's all good. You know, we're Sahajiyas. We stay Sahajiyas. We just change the deity, you know?
Shaktas.
Yeah, they're still technically Shaktas, but you go from Durga as the Shakta to the original Shakta, Shakti as Radharani. So, yeah, that also.
Yeah, as Assam, they have their feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And here we have the Thara feet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all that.
They have, just like you have Kali Ghat in Calcutta.
Yeah.
The Thara feet. So they also have there, that's Kamakshi.
Kamakshi
Devi. That's a big. So amongst tantrics, the one in this one here and the one in Assam, these are like the biggest.
Mm.
Gopal was. He was worshipping Kamakshi Devi.
Who?
Yeah.
Gopalak. Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll be worshipping as Yogamaya.
Mark, she is the young Kanya who is Parvati before the
Oh, okay. Yeah, before marriage. So then yeah, so it'll be that's where the Tantra, it was introduced into Buddhism, was when his associates were preaching and they were traveling around India converting everybody. When they got, because first you're going to start out, you know, Varanasi and all these main places. And then once you've done that, then you move to the outlying areas like Assam. But when they got there, then the tantrics up there impressed them with their, you know, because I mean 2,500 years ago, they were good at their tantra. And so they could do all kinds of, you know, manipulating the material energy, and it impressed. So they introduced, so that's where time, you know, Shiva, Parvati, and time come into the philosophy. It's not part of Buddhist philosophy. Buddhism, all there is to Buddhism is that there's nothing, and so therefore you just live a lifestyle, non-violent, don't disturb anyone. You have no temple, you have no place. You go, I think, that hour from 11 to 12 in the day, you know, the first hour before the noon, that you can go out and beg and maintain yourself, and the rest of the time then you meditate or have discussions on that. That was it. That's the totality of Buddhism. That's what it was. But when that, then you start introducing, then they start their temples, they start to worship. You know, like you see this, the heaviest in the Tibetan, you know, because it's the same place north. You know, and then you end up with all these other things. But Tantra was introduced into Buddhism from there. And that was in the life of Buddha. So already Buddhism was non-existent in the life of Buddha. It had already was something else. So that's why the Acharyas are so... And these are these were his best scholars. Buddha had converted the best, you know, Vedic Brahmins in India, and they got distracted by, you know, some Bengali pujaris, you know. So that's why a Bengali pujari from the Tara pit, you know, bewilders the whole world. So why not from up there, you know? So it's just, you know, gotta watch the Bengalis, no? So therefore, they come up with all this stuff, you know, and they're clever, they're smart. You know, you don't get anybody smarter than the Bengalis, you know, like that. So then they introduce these things, and then people take it, and they think it's fabulous. But if you want Krishna, then you avoid these things. The principle is there, you want it, yeah, go for it. Just like, let's say you have... A child, let's take a modern scenario. You have, say, a child, and both parents are, you know, either, you know, like, let's say, doctors, right? And, you know, in his mind, he wants to be a doctor because, you know, at free times and that, and he'll spend time with them at the hospital or whatever they're doing and going, and sometimes they go to conferences, they'll go along, you know, things like this. So then what will they do? I mean, of course, when you're real little, you're going to get out, you know, your little box and this and that, and you're going to be the doctor, and, you know, your teddy bear is going to be your patient. But when you get older, you know, when you start school, then you do good grades. You know, learn, get your 4-point average, and hurry ball, you'll be a doctor. And they know, it's like, you know, I do the grade school, then I do that, and then in high school, you know, secondary, I'm going to specialize in sciences, like that, and they get their top marks, they study, they do their homework, and then when they get to college, they do their undergraduate, then they do their specialization, their postgraduate, and then hari bol, there they are, they're a doctor. So they know that right from the beginning, but they don't think, I can do that. That means that I'm already that. That's your caste Goswamis. Because you're born in a doctor family, you're automatically a doctor. And the Sahajiyas means if you're a caste Goswami, you're not going to be a Sahajiya. Because you're already a Goswami. Well, why do you need to, you know, mess around? But if you're not, then Sahajiyas, I feel like it, therefore I am. I feel, therefore I am. Right? Before it was, I think, therefore I am. Now it's, I feel, therefore I am. You know? So in other words, you have the guy sitting there, the human being going like this and like that, or whatever it is. Then he's, I think, therefore I am. Now you put, you know, something else there, a gorilla or, you know, a polar bear, and then he's doing this, and I feel, therefore I am. So it's just two aspects of the same thing. Just one has rituals and all that, because they want to have to maintain their Brahminical profile. It's you know, like that. Well, the Sahajas don't really have much of a profile. You know, a few of the gurus are big, but otherwise, but not much respected.
Interesting, Maharaj. The Sahajiyas, they have problem, serious problem, right from Jiva Goswami.
Yeah.
But the caste Goswami starts only
with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, because they leave them alone, because they're already off, you know, so they're... Because they didn't go into the temples, they didn't take care of those things. They just went, took darshan and leave. Just like for us, does it matter who's there? We go in, take darshan, the deities, and leave. But when you're preaching and people are going to go there, they're not going to just go and take darshan and leave. No, they're going to go there and talk to them, and what do you do? And what you do must be better than what we do, because you're a Goswami, well, we're just, you know, this and that. And they'll also tell you that. You know, so it all just comes from, it just comes from these upper sampradayas. Means the mentality, of course, is there within the jiva to get distracted, so therefore they so easily get distracted. But the point is it comes from, why associate with them? You know, there's something going on where we end up, so, but you have to take, know what you take and what you don't. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say we have a whole bunch of Shaligram Shivas, and we don't know who they are. So then we find out, okay, there's some big pandit, you know, and the Shri's got a pandit, or the Madhvas, or the Nimbarkas, somebody's got a pandit that he is the scholar on Shaligrams, who they are. He can quote the Shastra and say which one they are. So you take them to him, he looks at him, tells you who everybody is. Now does that mean now we start taking up their padati? No, you didn't know. We know how to worship Shaligram, we just didn't know what deity he was. So we go to them, they tell us what deity, and then we start doing fine. But that doesn't mean we take any more. Oh, they know that and we don't know, so they must know everything that we don't know. I don't know this, so they must know it. No, Prabhupada already knows it. He's telling you. You're so much not knowing it, you're not seeing that he doesn't see it. Say it. You're thinking, oh, he doesn't say it, they say it. No, but like we see, we go along, we see the Prabhupada and the purports of saying the same things you go, Swami saying. So it's already there. When Prabhupada says everything's in his books, literally he means it. All points of philosophy are there. There's nothing lacking. You know, but we foolishly think, oh, they have more, they know more. You know, so it's like devotees go to the Shris for learning all the, you know, like installing deities and stuff like that. But we have more stuff than they do. Literally, theirs is simpler. So, and when you ask them, why don't they use our padati for doing yajna now, it says, because we don't understand it. So then why don't you ask somebody and find out, rather than go to the Shris and learn theirs? That's not proper. And then they'll come and say, no, this is the proper thing and what we're doing is not, because they don't understand it, so we shouldn't be doing it. But as I mentioned, when during the Bangalore opening, they had all the big pujaris from Sri Rangam, from Tirupati, Melkote, and I think a couple of others like that. They were all Shris, they were all represented. It's a big, big thing, big, big yajna, big, big, all this thing like that. And then we came there and we were doing what we were doing. So the pandits asked, well, what are they doing? Where is this from? So then somebody handed him the Gotamiya Tantra, I think, where it explains all the worship and all that. You know, they gave it to him in Sanskrit. They went, they read the whole thing, they handed it back. So it says we couldn't do that. Because technically their worship is really simple. They just repeat it again and again and again. That's what makes it look complicated. An installation, ihavaha, ihatishta, they're done. Then they just pick up the spoon, worship. You know, vra, ihavaha, ihatishti, sani dehi, sani rudyaspa, yuga samukopava, then ika sadali karu, then you chant the Gopal mantra, you know, like that. Then you do the nyasa, the Gopal mantra, you know, like that. Then you start the, they don't do any of that. That's just, their brain would come, you know, unhinged. So we do more complicated stuff less times. They do simpler stuff over and over and over again. And then somehow or another, they're more advanced and they know more and technical than them. No, our stuff, it, Brudge is the origin of everything in the cosmos. So why wouldn't the Padadis from Brudge be the most sophisticated? Hari Bhakti Vilas is quoting from everything from Pancharatra. They use one Pancharatra. He's quoting from all of them and showing how they all mix together. What kind of brain Sanatana Goswami has to do that. And he quotes from those Pancharatras that they don't use anymore. They won't use. They're too complicated. If the temple was established by Ramanujan in Hayashirshara Ahirbhutnyaya, it stays like that. But any new temple now is all Padma, because it's the simplest. And so any of the new people, they only know that. So unless you're a pujari at one of those temples that knows Hayashirsha, you're not doing. But Sanatana Goswami, the stuff he tells us is from Hayashirsha, Ahirbhutnyaya, and this and that. And you can do, but if you want to make that the emphasis, or you make the holy name, Prabhupada just come in and have a kirtan, put the deity, pour some, do an abhishek and hari bol installed. You know, and if you want to do a little bit more, then padatis are there. Like that. It means you have a question, you don't know what this thing is, you go ask. They know all these things, they can tell you, but that doesn't mean now you take up what they're doing. So like that. So Kasa Goswamis, the Sahajiyas, Adu Sampradayas, anything but us. It's like we're not the highest level. You know, so it's like this. You have the university thing. They want to come in doing the university because they got the real education. There's no. Prabhupada says higher education is from his books. So studying his books is the higher education. They think, no, because I wrote did a dissertation on, you know, whatever it is, you know, this little aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and I studied and I, you know, put 500 references and spent 3 years doing that. Therefore, I have more knowledge than somebody who just studied during those 3 years Prabhupada's books. They actually have the audacity to think that they know more, that they're in a superior position because I did that. I am superior in intellectual prowess. I can understand anything. These are diseases. So all these things, we get attracted by the technical rituals too much, the sahajya too much, the intellectual too much, or you know the detachment, the liberation. All these things are there. They're already mentioned. Prahlad Maharaj, you know, how many millions of years ago was that? He mentioned about the 12 different aspects of religion. And that unless they're engaged in the Lord's service, Shrama Avi Kedalam, they're a waste of time. But coming from an impious background, that we're even willing to be a little pious, then we take that as see, that's the fabulous thing. Rather than, no, it's the bhakti. You only got there because of the bhakti. Means they say, no, but we did that, but the whole point is how could you write something on Gaudiya Vaishnavism? Right? How many years have you been in the movement studying and all that? If you did your dissertation on something totally mundane, would you have made it? Would you have gotten the thing? Would your peers have passed, reviewed it and passed you? Good chance, no. Because you don't have the background. You don't have the material karma to do that. But as a Gaudiya Vaishnava that you study and that and write it down and all that, then yeah, why not? If it'll work, that now you can go and talk to them and they'll be happy to talk to you, great. But to say that now you're superior to other Vaishnavas because you've studied this, that is like Krishna Kshetramara said, piled high and deep. And he's talking about BS or bull dung. That's what's piled high and deep. He told me directly. That's it. Yeah, he said, you know. So it's just, yeah. So it's just, that's bogus. That's a deviation. You know, but everybody's got their weakness, and so, but the point is, but if the false ego's there and one sticks to it, that's where the problem lies. Then one gets distracted, that's going to happen. Everybody gets distracted. You know, you're going in for darshan and all that, you know, coming up, you know, kind of like that, get out like that, notice the mahashop just opened and no one else is there. You know, like that, you know, you were going to go after the darshan, but then there'll be no one there. I mean, there'll be everybody there or nothing left. So, hey, you know, so it doesn't matter. People get distracted, fine, but when it's start to see, when you start to, you know, study and associate with devotee and you start to see is, okay, this is the direction it should go. Then you should take it. Don't hold on to those false identities. Then you can get to this, you know, mantrapasana mind. Otherwise, no chance. And if you can't get to the mantrapasana mind, how are you going to get the swarasiki? So how you'll be able to meditate is because the heart is pure. How do you get the heart pure? From chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that, oh, I practice meditation, I'll become good. If that was it, the Buddhists would all be on swarasiki. 7 hours sitting in front of a wall. That's some serious meditation, day in, day out. You know? But we don't see them absorbed in the Lord.
I guess they're so angry that it just takes 7 hours for them to cool down.
Yes, yes. That's why you see of all the Buddhist, monasteries, Shaolin's the most famous. Yeah. You know, everybody knows Shaolin.
Yeah.
I'm sure amongst the Buddhists there's others that are, but even amongst those who are not, everybody knows Shaolin because they can take all that anger and put it into, you know, beating something or making the body strong so it can't be beaten. And yeah. You know, so all this thing is there, and the point is it takes time anyway. You know, so it's like this. This is 4th year we're studying Santaras. You know, and so now you start to see certain things here, but that's also because we finished Bhagavatam.
And
Chaitanya Charitamrita. Otherwise, then you know. At this point, you know, if we were doing it, you know, we would be catching something, we'd be catching this level farther down. Or maybe because we adjust everything and all that, and by the, you know, the, how you say, the spiritual potency of the teachers, then they'll be catching it much earlier.
Well, I doubt that.
Yeah. Because it's the, what do you call it? Just the mercy of the Lord. It means we follow, we do go through, we try to learn, following in the footsteps and all that. So for, as you see, we're studying, it's not about a scholastic approach. It's not an inductive approach. It's not that we're big scholars from doing this. We only understand it because Prabhupada's purports, like you saw, we were doing Vedanta Sutra, but until we put in Prabhupada's purports, we couldn't understand what was going on. So it's just, that's how it works. When you see everything through the eyes of the founder of Charya, then it makes sense. So those that study it directly, they'll never get anywhere. Who's even finished it? Who's got through all six sandharvas? You know what I'm saying? Individuals might, but as a school that are teaching, who's done it? No, they get 1 year, 2 year, everyone will go because it's like, just gets drier and drier. You know, that may be why it's just, You weed them out in Bhagavat Sandarbha, right? And if you have, and whoever's less than Paramatma, you'll definitely get rid of them. You know.
That's why they jump directly from the first to the fifth.
Yeah.
Without preaching.
Did you give the stick? It's like a relay.
Didn't see.
Okay, Vritti. Having defined the two types of apricot manifestations and illuminated on the mantrapasana maya pastimes, next, swarasiki pastimes are illustrated. The swarasiki apricot pastimes are eternally manifest in the abodes of Krishna. In the next Anucheda, Uddhava, in order to pacify Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, describes that Krishna is present always in the heart as Paramatma, and therefore they shouldn't lament for his absence among them. However, Srila Jiva Goswami in the later Anuchedas describes that Krishna is personally present in Vrindavan eternally in his apricot form, and thus the pastimes of eternal union of the apricot manifestation are indicated in the verse stated by Uddhava. So, in other words, he's pointing out some technical thing, how we can absorb ourselves more in Krishna, but it was actually alluding to their position and how they're already, you know, there with Krishna by being absorbed in something Krishna, then they can be, because they're in the apricot pastime, I mean the prakat pastimes, by absorbing themselves in Krishna and that, they absorb themselves in the apricot, and then they're always with Krishna. Well, we're, like he says, Paramatma, the controller, we're not the controller and the enjoyer, but you know that. Anucheda 154. Now, a swastiki pastime is described according to the direct meaning and then according to the real intention of the Lord, which will be explained. Ma kidyantam maha bhagav drakshyata krishnam antike antar hridi sa bhutanam aste jyotir ivaidasi. O most fortunate ones, do not lament. You will see Krishna again very soon. He is present within you just as Paramatma, as in the hearts of all living beings. Or as fire lies dormant in wood. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Nanda Maharaj says, oh, so great is our misfortune that there is delay in our truthful son coming to Raja. To answer the lamenting parents, Uddhava replies with this verse. You should not lament. Very soon you will be able to see Krishna. Nanda Maharaj replies, you say we will see him, but when will that be? Tomorrow, the next day, or 10 days later? With some consolation, we will keep our life heirs from leaving our bodies till that day. But if he is not coming, you should tell us truthfully. As it is difficult to prevent the life heirs from leaving, then let them leave. Uddhava, hearing Nanda speak like this, then began to consider, quote, one should advise those who are suffering separation from their material sons in this way. Quote, why are you immersed in the illusion of family attachment like this? False attachment to wife and sons is a cause of trouble. Give that up and attach yourself to the Lord. Right? So then you're going to say, don't get absorbed in the material family life, absorb yourself in the Lord, because that's actually, he's the mother, the father, and he's everything, and whatever you see in other family members is actually just coming from the Lord. Then Uddhava, but how can I advise Nanda, who is attached to the Lord as his son? Like that. He is not like Vasudeva, who on seeing the godly powers of Krishna weakens his attachment to him as his son. Rather, by showing them Krishna's powers, Nanda and Yashoda's attachment to the son will become stronger. Right, so Uddhava, even from Dwarka, understands the difference in how their moods and everything.
Buddha is such a special personality.
Yeah. No, well, he's the senior most devotee in Dwarka. So he, in other words, he's the closest to being between. He's this side. You know, like let's say, Rohini is that side. So Rohini you hear of Rohini in Vrindavan pastimes, and Dwarka pastimes, now and again Shon's name will be mentioned. But Uddhava will be the prominent ones. You know. When parents lose sight of the son playing in their house, they die out of sorrow. By our good fortune, the Lord himself plays about as our son in our house. If we cannot care for him or even a moment, we lament. How will we live not seeing that child in our house? We are so unfortunate having been separated from such a child. So even they know that but the Lord himself is playing as the child, but it's about him being a child that's important to them, not that he's the Lord. You know, not because he's the Lord, therefore they're worshiping him. They're attracted to the Lord in that feature as the son. So they're thinking like this. So that means that approach that Uddhava is considering won't work. You know, you can't tell like that. Okay, Vasudeva and Devaki, however. So I guess this is going back to Uddhava, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so then, okay. So Vasudeva and Devaki, however, on realizing the godly powers of Krishna, say, quote, he is worshipable, he is not our son, end quote. They thus refrain from embracing and fondling him. Not only is Nanda and Jashoda's possessiveness of Krishna tied tightly, but Krishna, though the Supreme Lord, has strong possessiveness of them as well. His pain for his devotee I've seen when he said, quote, go to Vraja and make my father and mother happy. Remove the pain of separation from the women of Vraja by giving news about me, end quote. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.46.3. O Nanda, we people of Vraja have a natural attachment for your son. Also, he has great attachment for us. What is the cause? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.26.13. Then Uddhava's continuing, I remember hearing these words of the cowherd men. If I go to Mathura and bring Krishna here tomorrow, Jarasandha will come to destroy Mathura, angry because Kamsa's wives were left as widows. Who then will protect Vasudeva and the other Yadavas? If Krishna then again goes to Mathura to protect them, then those in Vraja will certainly die. If I say that Krishna will come in 4 or 5 years, they will not be patient for that long. If I lie and tell them that he will come after 4 or 5 days, when the time expires and they discover I lied, they will die. Yes. As there is no other means, I will now weaken their prema by telling them that as Super Soul, Krishna is neutral to everyone. As impersonal Brahman, he is without relationships with father, mother, body, karma, or birth. I will teach meditation on the soul to realize that. Right? Because he's saying that their love is so strong that he sees no option on whatever technique you could use, it won't work. Right? So now he's thinking, okay, well, just as in Mathura, Vasudeva and Devaki, by hearing about his godly position, then say he's not our son and then refrain from embracing and that it reduces their prema. And so, you know, it means it manifests in a different way. So therefore, they don't feel that separation as such. So he's thinking, I'll try that with Nanda and Jashoda. Like that. You know, it worked for Vasudeva and Devaki, but they're not like this because they think like this, but maybe I'll try. Right? If on revealing all this, Nanda and Jashoda's unlimited, unfathomable, uncontrollable prema increases even more, then I will go to Mathura and simply glorify their incomparable prema again and again to the assembly of Krishna, Vasudeva, Ugrasena, and others, and astonish them all. So that's what will happen. I should rather just criticize Krishna, because he sees that that's what's going to happen. Having made this decision, he then began to speak about Krishna as the Super Soul. Like fire within wood, Krishna is present within the hearts of all living beings. Then why can no one see him? One does not see fire in wood without kindling it. Krishna can also be seen by proper methods. So in other words, fire is in wood, you kindle it, then you get it. So fire, Krishna is Super Soul, he's in everything. So therefore, by the proper method, then you can see. Right? Uddhava's implication is, if you did not perform devotional activities of Vaishnavas for Krishna, your son, would he appear in your house? Nanda and Yashoda then thought, somehow or other Krishna must appear in our house. We must perform devotional service. Right, so he's saying they perform devotional service to Krishna, therefore that's why he appeared in their house. So just like wood is fires in wood, therefore you use the proper method and well, you'll kindle it. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that's why the acharyas are so strong in all what we were talking before about all these, you know, apasampradayas and everything, because this is like throwing wood on the fire and saying, oh, that's going to see the wood as the fire and all that, but then, you know, like that, so we want to get that fire, but then, you know, we want to taste the nectar. Nectar's like, you know, is like water and amrita, so we'll throw water on the wood and that will make it go higher, and then we'll get fire. So they're trying to warn us about all these bogus techniques. Thus, when Uddhava returned to Mathura, Nanda and the cowherd men with tearful eyes told him, "O unfortunate one, may our minds rest on his lotus eyes, may our voices sing his name, may our bodies offer him respects." Sardartha Darshani 10:46-36. So he tried all this, but, you know, it didn't work. O fortunate Nanda and Yashoda, do not lament because you will see Krishna since he is within. An example is given of his permanent residence within. He resides in the hearts of all beings, like fire and wood. His continual manifestation, Spurti, is the proof for you. Spurti is the experience of remembering Krishna.
Spurti is a momentarily appearance of the Lord, whether in the mind or externally.
Yes. Yeah. So that means because they think of him, then they have that, and so then he's pointing that out. So basically, you can see as he's using that method of the Paramatma, and you know, meditation and all that kind of thing, you know, which then is useful for us. But at the same time, as the Acharyas, you know, was mentioned before and will be pointed out, they're mentioning if you always absorb yourself in Krishna, then you'll be absorbed in the apricot pastimes, and you'll always be with Krishna. Like that. You know, because he says, you know, his continual manifestation, Spurti, is the proof for you. Continual manifestation, he's always meant, because you're remembering, so he's always, so that's the proof. Like that. But there's another meaning. He is like fire and wood because there's no rule as to when he can be seen as Paramatma in the heart. And he exists there, and his existence there is unclear. Right? Uddhava spoke thus to Yashoda. Riti. The author, Srila Jiva Goswami, next cites the excerpt of Uddhava's message to the gopis on behalf of Krishna. This message apparently appears to be teaching jnana yoga to the gopis. However, under the pretense of Brahma jnana, Krishna teaches the gopis eternal union of the apricot manifestation, which is the greatest secret. In the apricot manifestation of Krishna, situated in a special manifestation of Vrindavan, at the moment, the associates manifest in the apricot manifestation experience union with Krishna. In the prakat manifestation, the associate experience separation when he goes to Mathura, though he was previously in Raja. Separate activities take place in each of these manifestations by his inconceivable Shakti. By comprehending these two manifestations, one can conclude that Krishna is eternally residing in the three abodes, Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, with his associates. Because otherwise you say, he's moving from one to the other. But no, he's always residing in them. All three of them simultaneously. Anucheda 155. The Supreme Lord said, "You are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so am I present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-29. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The first message gives instructions on knowledge, whose purpose is to reveal the unassailable strength of prema to the most intelligent, and to cover the glories of prema from the dull-minded. Right? So, from the dull-minded, they'll think he's talking in the one way, but for the others, it's revealing the other. See, through Uddhava, I am teaching the gopis the nectar of knowledge and that could not extinguish the fire of their love. Rather, that knowledge got consumed by heat of the fire, I guess by the heat of the fire, of their love. Their prema has been proved the strongest, because it has rendered useless jnana yoga taught by me, the Lord of mind and yoga. So even though he's teaching that, just their prema just took that and just already absorbed it. You know, it's already part of it. It's not that it becomes the thing. It's not that here's bhakti and here's the jnana, and so if that becomes, you know, that intensity of the prema, by the jnana it'll be more balanced than everything. Like the that Shanta Ras never feels separation, because Krishna is in everything, and Krishna is everywhere. So whichever aspect of looking at and appreciating the glories of the person and how he is expanding in everything, his sarup is everything, then they never separated from the Lord. So only when there's possession, then you have separation. So, yeah. It is just as, at the beginning of the rasa dance, his instructions of karma yoga revealed the strength of prema to the confidential devotees. The Supreme Lord, benefactor of all, taught jnana for liberation to the gopis, even though they are filled with the highest prema. In order to hide the greatest secret, the glories of prema, from the ignorant people who think they are learned. In this way, he nourished the devotees with the nectar of prema and cheated the non-devotees by giving some intoxicant. Like Mohini, the verse reveals two functions equally in relation to the devotee and the demons. Okay. Yes, so therefore, as we may know something, but there's always more. So that's why we should never be proud, because whatever platform we're at, there's always something more. Yeah. So in other words, we hear this, and by using this technique that Krishna says, it can bring us forward to that. But for the gopis, they're already beyond that. You were saying.
And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes that point that in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the glories of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam talking itself about Bhagavatam, which mm-hmm. is really interesting. So he says that there's three comparisons, Bhagavatam with the Deepa, with the lamp,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bhagavatam with the sun,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bhagavatam with the ripened fruit. And of course there's a progression, mm-hmm. but then this example of Mohini, he says, but also Bhagavatam is also compared to Mohini in the later cantos.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the lamp, the sun, and it's explained and, you know, different divisions, but the Mohini, like here, those who take the external form of Bhagavatam
mm-hmm.
as Mohini took the nectar and deprived the demons of nectar. It's in mm-hmm. the same way. Then the fools and rascals, they can't understand Bhagavatam, although reading it
mm-hmm.
and going through the chapters and mm-hmm. studying and trying to divide. But if they use the descending method,
mm-hmm.
like Mohini, the Bhagavatam will not be. They won't get any nectar. Mm-hmm. That's the conclusion.
That's very far. It's also interesting, those three features, because the lamp is illuminating.
Yeah.
The sun, everything, life, everything goes on because of the sun.
Yeah.
And then the mango is the taste.
Yeah.
So you have all three features.
Yeah.
That's really far.
Yeah. It also divides the 10 topics according to the lamp, to the sun, and then the... So
oh.
it's two,
okay.
it's seven, and then the ripened fruit is the ashraya. It's a dense
okay.
canto, which is, you know, which is the nectar
okay.
of the Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the summum bonum would be within the middle seven as the, you know, he's the supreme, the topmost, and like this.
Yeah.
Because he's the ultimate goal. But the taste would be an ashraya.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.